I'm Heather DeRose.
And I'm Antonio DeRose.
Welcome to the Greenhouse Healthy Podcast, where we talk about plant medicines along with fitness and wellness for ourselves and our planet. Today we're talking with Elizabeth Kramer Ernst. Elizabeth Kramer Ernst is a nurse practitioner and the owner and creator of Hampton's MediSpa telemedicine platform and is a top cannabis medical practitioner in New York State. She is a registered provider with New York, certified through the Massachusetts Medical Society. She has 30 years of experience in medicine, including pediatrics, and has extensive training in pain management and spinal cord injury. Elizabeth attended Columbia University's mini fellowship in pediatric and adolescent psychopharmacology and is now using cannabis for these patients. Through concierge-style medicine, close monitoring of patients with expert RN and navigators, her patients are 90 to 100% symptom-free with medical cannabis. She also serves on the education committee for the Society of Cannabis Clinicians. Welcome, Elizabeth, and thank you for being on the show today.
Welcome.
So you've been practicing medicine for over 30 years now. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got started with medical cannabis?
Sure. Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. So my daughter reminds me that I said whenever New York has medical cannabis, I'm all in. And it happened to come to New York at the same time that I fell and crushed my left rib cage. I could no longer really twist and turn and look in a child's ear or pick them up or really speak. So, blessings come in disguises. And that exact same month, medical cannabis came to New York. So I created a telemedicine platform where patients can be seen on a video visit. It's all the rage right now, but 4.5 years ago, it was one of the first. And I felt confident that it would be a great way to reach patients because I had just been through a pretty, traumatic experience with my mom. In 2014, she fell and she became a quadriplegic from about the nipple line down at 79 years old. So I spent a lot of time caring for her. And when I come back home, I needed ways to be able to assess her. It's always, take a deep breath, mom, so I can listen to your lungs or, look at a rash. You can do that remotely. So, being that she was isolated and couldn't get out, and we had a lot of problems, an ambulance crashed with her in it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
That's awful.
Properly buckled, and she broke both legs and crushed her ankles and still went on to recover and walk very, very hard. Seeing that and knowing that there's people in urban areas as far as the rural areas, very rural areas in New York. You don't think of that, but the economy is very rural, very urban, and access to care is an issue. So, when I knew I could do cannabis and telemedicine, I knew it was going to be a home run, and I jumped right in, and it's been working very nicely for me and for patients. So my patient load has grown, and I use it for all kinds of things.
Nice. Were you always in favor of medical cannabis?
Well, I come from an area where lots of people for decades have been using cannabis. I live on Long Island. We're very, a lot of people work very hard and play really hard. And our nickname through the 80s, 70s, 80s was called Bong Island. So it's been a cannabis friendly place, and I knew that. A lot of people I knew and I grew up with have been using it. A lot of my patients, have been using it for decades. I used it when I was younger and college, but once I became a nurse practitioner, I took about a 20-year hiatus. And I hear that a lot with professionals, whereas I have family that have been using it, since teenage years. For medical reasons, whether you're self-medicating for anxiety or your stomach or whatever it is, I've seen therapeutic effects over decades. But myself personally have just return back to medical cannabis, and I'm very happy.
Was there any reason when you said you took your hiatus as a nurse practitioner, was there any reason in particular that you decided to do that?
Yeah, because the only way you could get it here is flower. And, that's illegal. So how do you get it? I have a license to protect. I would never use it or be impaired. So if I wanted to use it, evenings or weekends or off duty or whatever, I'd have to find it. And I also have hospital privileges, and I have to testify that I'm not using anything like that.
Okay.
Privileges, I round through, hospitals. You can't partake. So it was something I didn't do for a long time.
Okay. And we appreciate all your work you're doing. We actually met you for the first time at CanX Jamaica, working to educate and talk about what you do all across the world. And you have thousands of patients that are 90 to 100% symptom free with that. So that's amazing.
Yes, CanX Jamaica is one of the highlights of my cannabis career. I just had an amazing time. It was such electricity in the air. I met such amazing people like you guys, and people from Caribbean countries, Latin America, the best from the U.S., East and West Coast. A lot of energy and a lot of stuff, spun off of that.
Mm-hmm. And so when you're practicing telemedicine, recommending cannabis to your patients, is there specific conditions that you find to seem that it's working better for than others, or can you tell us a little bit about that?
So when I talk to patients and I explain, how the medication, here, New York is a pretty strict state, everything's clean, it's not sprayed, it's organic, it's lot number registered, it's tested in the Wadsworth Medical Lab we have in Albany. It's pharmaceutical grade THC and CBD in the ratio, which in other states it's the opposite. So, but it's a very milligram oriented state, and I am too. So, I always use milligrams. And when I talk to patients, I will go through every body system that it covers. We know that cannabis, the endocannabinoid system, is represented in 14 of your body systems. A lot of these receptors are in the brain and the neurological system, but I always list every disorder so that people say afterwards, oh my goodness, yes, I have that, and oh, my aunt has that, and my dad has this, and oh, I have that. I tell them it's good for back pain, neck pain, pinched nerves, slip disc, neuropathy, spasticity. It's good for movement disorders like Parkinson's and seizures. It's good for PTSD, anxiety, depression. I use it for ADD, OCD, autism, Alzheimer, dementia, and migraines with all the receptors in the bowel. It's good for diverticulitis, colitis, irritable bowel, and Crohn's disease. All day long, I take people off of psych meds, mood meds, Suboxone, methadone, opiates, narcotics, even stomach meds and skin meds. So when you ask me, what does it work for? Pretty much everything. I tell patients it does not take the place of chemotherapy or cardiac meds. So we know it does shrink cancer, and I have babies and infants and children that I'm working with shrinking their tumors. Cardiac, there's some research working about how it affects blood pressure, but we don't touch blood pressure meds.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's amazing. Let's see.
I always put patients on cannabis first. Mm-hmm. I have psychiatrists will send me patients, or patients are self-medicating, or patients are on other medication. The idea is you want to load up on the cannabinoids and try and get that person to their sweet spot or the equilibrium. Or that's why we say 90 to 100% symptom free, because that's the sweet spot. Anxiety is down, mood is good, focus is good, pain is gone, stomach is good, sleep is where it needs to be. And I didn't believe it until my patients were coming back and telling me that. And I asked every single one of them every year. And if they're not, and if they're 80% better, I consider that failure. And my RN or myself will work with them, because if everybody else is 90 to 100% better, don't you want those numbers too? So we start them on the cannabis, we load them up, we get them up to their sweet spot and fine-tune them. And then we work slowly with the medical team under strict medical supervision. That's me, my RN, the pharmacist, the patient, and whatever doctor wrote the script to slowly titrate the patients off those other medications one by one so that we can ingest cannabis on the other side. But I keep them on it for like 8 weeks in their sweet spot on cannabis before we touch anything. No swings of the pendulum, no highs, no lows. I just want to know that that's a good starting dose, get you through two lunar cycles. And then we can, slowly work to get patients. I mean, I have patients coming directly out of, heroin inpatient to me and skipping over Suboxone and Methadone.
Wow. That's incredible. Mm-hmm.
Shrinking brain tumors. I have, you guys are in Missouri, in Boston. Well, you know what? Probably Dana-Farber is probably known all across the country. It's the place where cancer, pediatric cancer, some of the toughest cases that can't be solved anywhere else, go up to Dana-Farber, and that's in Boston. And a couple of my babies and infants have been up there, toddlers, 5-year-olds, and so we work hard to shrink cancer. We haven't lost a baby, an infant, or a child yet. So we work with them with dosing. And so I don't know. I mean, there's lots of things we use it for. I have a following of adolescents who, normally would be smoking marijuana because teenagers, that's about the age they start medicating for anxiety and focus. And we get them, and they come to me in droves because they know me, and we get them on vapor tincture capsule around the clock, a reliable dose, keeps them in their sweet spot, and everybody's happy. And I have psychiatrists, pediatric psychiatrists saying, I don't know what to do. I threw everything at this kid. All he wants is cannabis. Send it to me. And usually these are the brightest of the brightest kids, too. So I have patients who have, stage 4 cancer, and we do a lot just to keep them comfortable with doses. And we have patients who are using high doses to shrink tumors. Pain is easy. Just sprinkle a little on the receptors, and that's easy. So those are the kinds of patients we work with. I have Holocaust survivors that are using it. I went to her house, my first patient, way in the beginning, and I sat with her when she took her medication. I just watched the stress melt off her face and over 20 minutes. And her daughter said that was the first night she was not up, just roaming the house.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing to hear. Okay. So you have thousands of patients and you're practicing this telemedicine, prescribing medical cannabis. What do you think that other medical professionals or how receptive to cannabis after you share these stories, or can you just tell us a little bit about other medical professionals in the field?
And I've been in it for 4.5 years, which in cannabis is like dog years, right?
Yeah, right.
Huge shift. In the beginning, I did have a lot of pushback. The pain doctors were very upset with medical cannabis. I still have one who sends me letters and calls me and tries to threaten me. Because he's losing a lot of patients because they wasn't on the Suboxone and the Methadone. And, cannabis works and those things are pretty toxic. So, if I'm treating you for chronic pain and voila, your addiction went away, well, how about that? It's been an uphill struggle. I do pediatrics, so, I want to make sure that I'm doing it properly and I read research. And Dr. Melanie Dreher, for example, the NIH researcher who did all the Jamaican studies, is my mentor, and she helps me find like-minded people who have done research. Now a lot more research is spilling out. All across the U.S. there are hospitals who figured out how to get programs going because we've done it privately in the underground. People like you, people like me, gone out and done it. So I think the tide is changing, and I think because somebody like me has done my homework and I've read and I've researched and I've used it and I've got great results and I'm careful and I follow protocols and I've had a 30-year pediatric reputation behind me, that it's opened a lot of eyes. And I would say out of the 7,000 patients that I have in New York, More than half of them are in the East End where I live and work, and that's a pretty high concentration. I would say 3,000 or 4,000 patients are all around here. So it's a great support system, you know, for the local doctors, and I think it was a good situation for me, and they're coming around. More people, some of the pain medicine doctors are incorporating it. Like I said, psychiatrists send me, GI send me patients. They know it works. The pediatric neurologists, you know, they're canceling the cards, so those kids are coming to me. And then I have, you know, NYU, I have an adult neurologist there that works with my epilepsy patients. So I have a lot of, I have the OBs will send me moms. I have pregnant and breastfeeding moms, postpartum moms. You know, that's those referrals are coming from my OBs and my nurse midwife friends and, you know, people that know me out in the community. I mean, I have people way, you know, hundreds of miles away also, you know, referring to me. Buffalo, probably 12 hours away. It's pretty far, the car. But I have a network of, you know, practitioners up there. So they're coming around. I think it's difficult for a physician, or mostly for a physician, to do, because they went to school for something else. They didn't get trained in this. They probably have wounds. They had to build a practice, buy equipment, train people. Then all of a sudden there's cannabis. So it's something they don't know a lot about. And, you know, there's not really any incentive. And when you write a prescription the right way, the patients don't come back. They get better. So a lot of them have said to me, listen, I'll just send you patients, because the tweaking, the fine-tuning, the dosing, I couldn't be bothered with. And that's, you know, that's where we're at now.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on cannabis compared to standard pharmaceuticals?
Well, anytime I can use cannabis instead of standard pharmaceuticals, I will.
Yeah.
That's what I do all day. I mean, gave you the list of meds all day long. I take people off of those medications, but I put them on the cannabis first, find a good spot, and anything and everything, I'll go through every single med and tell you, this is what we're going to do with this one, you know. And eventually it's always the goal for all of my patients to get all of their medication and only be on cannabis. And again, except for chemotherapy medication, cancer drugs, or cardiac meds. But say you lose weight, your blood pressure goes down, boom, you're off your blood pressure med. I have patients who are pre-diabetic. They're in that 10%, 15%, their sugar's too high, not high enough for injectables. They put them on metformin. I get them on cannabis. Their blood sugar's back in range. They're off metformin. Shall I tell you more?
That's amazing. I mean, all those stories, and you've seen firsthand and worked with so many people that you've seen, you know, totally transform their lives and for the better. So, you know, that's amazing. And then about the MediSpa, you do the telemedicine, and you have, can you talk about your new ambassador?
Sure. So it's all kind of connected, because, you know, it's just what I do. And when I started doing this, I mean, I like to make things, come from a creative family. And the first thing I made was cream with CBD in it, because I have eczema or dry skin. But for 30 years with babies' behinds, I was trying to find the cleanest, best creams. I can't stand when they put the desitin on and you're scraping it off, and the diarrhea, and babies' behinds are just the most delicate thing. So I was always, you know, trying to find different products that were clean. And so this cream that I made, this body butter with somebody who makes these products.
Yes.
I didn't know. I just made it for me, for dry skin. And next thing you know, people are telling me, I just give it away because I like it. And they're telling me it's good for neuropathy or pins and needles, came back, it's great for shingles, sunburn. I mean, yes, it has good for pain and inflammation and swelling and spasm, like, you know, we know. But I was surprised to find some of these other applications. I had a mother who came to me. She said, oh my God, I'm glad I found you. I've been having these jars I've been saving. I bought it from a chiropractor. Chiropractor was also sewing it, and she said, I use it on my kids' boo-boos, and I'm down to the last one. So got a lot of really good positive feedback. And then, you know, after that we made a beautiful soap, because you know, people need soap. And we made this because of skin, and one of my daughter's good friend is half black, half white. The soap is half black, half white. It has charcoal in it for odor, and the white is bentonite and kaolin clay for impurities. And so we all designed this together. We named it after him. It's called the Mubaka Bar, and he's this crazy guy that loves to do stuff in the, well, we're all very aquatic out here. So it has crushed sea kelp in the bar for grit and four different oils and CBD oil. And for somebody like me who has eczema, you need a little exfoliation, but you need the oils. Mm-hmm. So normally I would tell my patients, you know, within 5 minutes of the shower, you have to put lotion on to seal in the moisture. This skips that step because it's got the oil in it. And so I really like that for with my kids' for skin conditions. Then we made like a bath bar, and mommies would tell me, you know, they would break a little piece off and throw it in the tub, and we'll give Junior a nice, calm little bath before he goes to bed. So whenever I see a need, you know, I feel a need. There's a barrier cream that we made. You know how the elderly have that crepe papery skin, and they bang and sist stuff. My dad's 88, and his arms were always getting bloody. This is a beautiful barrier cream that if you bump into something, it's not tissue, you're not going to crumble. And that's the diaper ice cream. So we made a couple of products, and I sent it out to the universe, and I did get a nice A-list celebrity interested. Not that I was really looking for that, but that was given to me, and I'm really happy, but I can't name names yet.
Okay.
You know, I made these products because they work, and people needed them, see a need, fill a need. You know, it has this, they're super clean. Like, I've been sourcing these since you couldn't get CBD in the U.S. It was from Europe and, you know, triple tested and made into products. Oh, I forgot this part. Because in New York, it was $1 a milligram for CBD in the dispensaries when it first came. And if your baby or your kid needed 25 or 50 milligrams of CBD a day or more, you know they need more. It's just unsustainable, right? So I was sourcing it in Europe and making it and giving it and getting it to my babies and infants and children at an affordable price. So that's how all these things came to be.
That's amazing. Really appreciate all of the people that you're helping. So amazing to hear the stories. Inspiring.
What advice would you have for other physicians considering medical cannabis recommendations for their patients?
I would consider it for almost anybody, you know, it's hard really when you're doing other things to know about the dosing. So I kind of use a standard dosing that works, and I do lecture with Joe Dolce, and he wrote Brave New Weed, and talk about dosing in our lectures, and he has podcasts. It's really important to balance THC and CBD, but also to know how to go up and down on either side of the equation. Mm-hmm. And you know, that takes a part art, part science, and part knowing your patients. So getting into that, and I always, you know, dial down to milligrams, and I think physicians really should, and providers should. I know there are some states who just write a script and says, yes, the patient is eligible for cannabis, but I think medical practitioners should really write in milligrams and learn more about it that way and understand it as medicine and how to write for it properly. It's hard, but you'll find it.
Yeah.
Nice. Are there any like educational resources, like maybe the Society of Cannabis Clinicians or any others where physicians could get better educated?
Really, that's a great start. And they are, you know, gold standard. In medicine, you know, we have gold standards. They are the gold standard of cannabis medicine. I really wouldn't send anybody anywhere else, because the collection of talent that is in that society is the best of the best across the world. So you're going to, and they really work really hard on creating educational models and modules and, you know, research, and everybody's trying to share. It's a kind of an open share situation too, if you're looking for certain research. Really well organized, and tons and tons of data comes spilling out from all different areas right now. I mean, I think it was 12 studies on pediatric epilepsy in 2018 alone.
Nice. Yeah. And is there anything else you'd like to mention?
No, I just, you know, think it's important with the pandemic, people stay on their cannabis, use cannabis. It's anti-inflammatory, all inflammation. You know, we're finding out they're racing on cannabis channels right now to see if there's any kind of, you know, we know there's a benefit, but they're looking at strains and looking at doses. I think just overall it's important for people to use cannabis properly. And in this pandemic, just to really, you know, try and keep everything in balance. It's very stressful, and cannabis can really help you get through it if you're using it properly. I ask all of my patients to go to 75 milligrams of CBD at night. PTSD lodges in the prefrontal cortex. Cannabis binds there and extinguishes those memories, makes them the same level as other memories so you can process them. It also binds in the amygdala. That's your fight or flight, that endless loop of chatter. That's where anxiety lives, and it just calms it down so your intellect can take over, your problem-solving skills, and you can get good rest, and you're not so easily triggered the next day. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing I think has been helpful. I know it has been for me and my patients.
Yeah. I've been seeing a lot, too, is can cannabis help, especially during this pandemic? And, you know, we know it helps with inflammation and stress and can help, you know, overall homeostasis within the body. So, I think it's definitely been helping me and my stress levels as well. So thank you for mentioning that. And where can people find you and learn more?
That's my telemedicine website. You can poke around, take a look there. We have this sort of overall umbrella site called thehighlife.world.
Okay.
Thehighlife.world. And, you know, there we have our products, we have lifestyle things going on, and you also can read our blog and post. We have all the social media channels. We do travel a lot, and I'm missing that so much with my cannabis conventions and to get out and, you know, be with my cannabis folk. But
for sure.
Perfect. And we'll have links to all of that in our show notes. So you'll be able to find Elizabeth at all of the things that she just mentioned on your favorite podcast platform. And I think we're going to go ahead and wrap this episode up. That was awesome.
Yeah, thank you so much. You can find us on our social at Greenhouse Healthy. And thanks for listening to the Greenhouse Healthy podcast.